بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. The title is مرشد سے درخواست دعا. ساقیا جام الفت پلا دے میری اصلاح کی بھی دعا دے. ساقیا جام الفت پلا دے میری اصلاح کی بھی دعا دے. میرے مولا سے مجھ کو ملا دے اور گناہوں کو مجھ سے چھڑا دے. میرے مولا سے مجھ کو ملا دے اور گناہوں کو مجھ سے چھڑا دے. مجھ کو نفرت ہو ہر معصیت سے روح کو میری ایسی دوا دے. مجھ کو نفرت ہو ہر معصیت سے روح کو میری ایسی دوا دے. ہو تقاضا اگر معصیت کا ہوں نہ مغلوب ہمت خدا دے. ہو تقاضا اگر معصیت کا ہوں نہ مغلوب ہمت خدا دے. اپنی آہ سحر میں یہ کہنا اے خدا اپنی کامل رضا دے. اپنی آہ سحر میں یہ کہنا اے خدا اپنی کامل رضا دے. چین کی نیند مجھ کو سلا دے خواب غفلت سے مجھ کو جگا دے. چین کی نیند مجھ کو سلا دے خواب غفلت سے مجھ کو جگا دے. جذب سے مجھ کو اے میرے مالک اہل تقویٰ کرم سے بنا دے. جذب سے مجھ کو اے میرے مالک اہل تقویٰ کرم سے بنا دے. اپنے اختر کو رسوا نہ کرنا اس کے عیبوں کو یا رب چھپا دے. اپنے اختر کو رسوا نہ کرنا اس کے عیبوں کو یا رب چھپا دے. ساقیا جام الفت پلا دے میری اصلاح کی بھی دعا دے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. This is the poem of حضرت مولانا محمد حکیم اختر صاحب نور اللہ من قدر. حضرت مولانا رحمت اللہ علیہ is in this poem, although it's a dua, but he's showing what is our ultimate goal of coming to the Khanqah. That every time we come for the programs, every time we try to implement something in our life from the programs, this should be our ultimate goal. So Mana is mentioning that this should be the dua that we request from our Sheikh. That one is you come to the Khanqah to get your sicknesses diagnosed, but together with getting your sicknesses diagnosed, one is dua and one is dawa. So the treatment is given, but with that you have to take the duas. And Hazrat Mawlana always explains that you have to look for opportunities where you gain the duas of people. One is where you ask a person, make dua for me. And one is where you do something and the person repays your action with dua. So in the hanka, one of the things is to look for the excuses where you can get the dua and the tawajjuh of the sheikh. On a side note, our ustad used to mention to us that there used to be one murid of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani, rahmatullah alayh. And Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani was a very particular person. His pencil had a specific place of staying on his desk. And this murid always used to use the pencil and put it out of place. Little bit out of place. Now, what will say Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani, they say is very gentle nature, nazuk tabiat, that small things used to, what will say, aggravate him. So the minute he saw his pencil, or he would see his pencil is out of place, then he should scold the murid and say, you use my pencil, why didn't you put it back in the right place? Obviously making the tarbiyat of the murid. And afterwards, the other movies, they used to look at this person and say, how many times you're going to get the shouting? Don't you know when you use the pencil, just put it properly in its place? So you all don't understand. At least I know my sheikh's focus and his attention is on me. We all don't know if his focus or his attention is on y'all or not. But I know by the time he's shouting me, or it might look to y'all that he's scolding me. But I know in his scolding, afterwards there's dua coming from his heart for me. So we don't have to trouble the sheikh to get his dua. Don't take the wrong lesson. But look for excuses where you get the opportunity of the sheikh making dua for you. Nevertheless, the hanka is always explained as if a place where leeke is being served. One of the questions is why? They say because when a person gets intoxicated, then he forgets about everything else. His mind is out of this world. They say one of the reasons of making the similarity of the hanka towards a place where alcohol is served, they say once you get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your mind is also out of the world. So not the negative, the positive thing is that you take lesson from it, that when a person gets intoxicated in the right thing, then he's going to get closer to his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Maulana mentions that the sheikh is there as if to say serving the intoxication of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to take. So we make the dua and we say, oh our sheikh, please serve us from the drink of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us also get intoxicated with this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, may islah ki bi dua de. Make dua for my islah. And Maulana mentions time and time again, in our own du'as we have to make, oh Allah, make my kamil complete islah. One is you ask for du'as, one is you make du'a yourself. So one is we make du'a ourselves, and also you ask the sheikh, make du'a for me to get my complete islah. And together with that is action. Maulana always mentions to us that you always feel that, you know what, I can't talk about my son. I feel shy, I feel shame to say that, you know what, I have the sickness of the eye, or I have anger, or I have this sickness or that sickness. Until you don't bring that sickness to the sheikh, then how is the treatment going to be given to you? The diagnosis might be there, but the first step of rectifying yourself is to acknowledge that, no, I have the sickness. Then when the treatment is given, to fulfill it. Generally when a doctor gives tablets, he'll say, finish all the antibiotics. You only need 1 or 2 days, you'll be alright, but finish the whole course of the tablet. So say Maulana mentions that when any prescription is given, although it might not make sense in your head, you the sheikh, I'm the murid, I'm here for my islah, let me follow. try, do it. If after you practice upon it, you're not seeing the results, then you come back. But generally, people like me, before we even given the treatment, mana, this can't work for me, that can't work for me, this won't work for me. So, first is you ask for dua. Second is when the dawa, when the treatment is given to you, then act upon it. Then making the dua that, oh my Shaykh, link me up to my Allah. Link me up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how you are linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then also link me up and let me also experience the close proximity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then save me and protect me from the evilness of sin. That save me from committing sin. So how we mentioned just now, a person knows what sin is in his life. Bring that to the fore. Speak about it so that the treatment can be administered. It's not like you're going to say, no, I'm shy to talk of this guna, miraculously that sin is going to leave you. Bring it to the fore. When you admit about it, then inshallah the treatment will be given to you. You'll practice on the treatment. The Shaykh will be making dua for you at the time of tahajjud. And through the barakah of that, inshallah the sin will leave your life. Then, mujhko nafrat ho har ma'asiyat se. One is to commit the sin and after the sin to make tawbah. One is to say, you know what, I know I made a sin. But here you're saying, even higher stage that, oh my Shaykh, guide me to such a way where I just dislike sin in total. One is I don't even get involved in the sin. As Mana always used to mention to us the example, if a certain type of a cream is made in one of these European countries, where they say if you burn and you put this cream on your hand, then immediately your skin will return back 100% better than what it was. Which person in his sane mind will say, no, let me put my hand in the fire, let me burn so I can use this cream? We'll say, no, that cream is there, if by chance I burn, then I'll use the cream. So same is guna. If by chance I make guna, then the door of tawbah is there. It's not that I'm going to make the sin and say, no, Allah is very forgiving, Allah is ghafoor, Allah is rahim, I'll make tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive me. So, make dua for me that I have this natural hatred for guna. Here also, it's showing that make me close to Allah, then I'll realize what my Allah Ta'ala wants from me, what my Allah Ta'ala dislikes. And a lover does not want to do that thing that his lover dislikes, so if, that his beloved dislikes. So, if Allah Ta'ala dislikes sin, then I'm not going to do that sin. So make dua, I get so close to Allah that naturally gunas leave my life. Then make such a dua for me that if the need to commit any sin comes, then I'm able to pull away. Mana, Akim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib used to say, insan is a immature. That we lazy to use the courage. Allah Ta'ala commands us to stay away from sin. Allah Ta'ala won't command us to do something that we can't do. Allah Ta'ala is not a zalim. Allah Ta'ala is not an oppressor that's going to force you to do something that is not within your capability. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. But what happens is, insan, that little bit of courage to stay away from the sin, that person don't want to do it. Then he say, no, I can't stay away from the sun. Simple example is someone else, woman is walking past, the courage is just to close the eyes, just to look down, just to look away from that direction. But a person will say, I just can't, I just need to look. You also, a person came to Mana Ashraf Ali Thani when he said that, Mana, when a woman passes me, then I can't control myself, I have to look. So, Mana Ashraf Ali Thani was Hakimul Ummah. He said, okay, tell me something. If the woman comes and you look at her, what happens? He says, no, then my thoughts get even more that if I could spend time with her and this and that and that, then for days I'll, what will say, drool over her. So, Mana said, when she walks past in front of you and you look down, You only for a few seconds thinking about her, and then that thought is gone. And if you look at her, then for days on end you worry about her. So which one is better? To for a few seconds lower your gaze and forget about her, or to look at her to your heart's content, and then your heart is never contented because you want more and more and more. So same here, that make dua that when that need to commit any sin is there, then at that moment my nafs is able to say, this is against the command of my Allah, I need to stay away from this. Then very quickly we say, making a request and a plea to the Shaykh, that at the time of tahajjud, at the time when the sun is rising, referring to tahajjud, then make dua for me, take my name also. That deep sigh which is coming out from your heart at the time of tahajjud, remember me in that dua also. And then, oh Allah, make me a complete, make me get your complete happiness, your kamil rida, that oh Allah, you be completely happy with me. And then we're making the request that, oh my Shaykh, that take me out of the slumber and the sleep that I'm in of ghaflat and forgetting and not being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wake me up from this deep sleep that I am in. And there's one term in the Khanqa that is called jazb, where Allah ta'ala pulls a person towards Him. That Allah ta'ala makes the condition for that person to get close to Him. So we say that make it such that Allah ta'ala pulls me close towards Him. Oh my Malik, oh my Allah, pull me towards You. Make me from Ahl Taqwa. And oh Allah, only out of Your mercy and Your benevolence, make me from the people of Taqwa. And then Ma'ana ends off with dua, and is an important line for us whenever this need to commit a sin comes to our mind. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. That, oh Allah, after You guided me towards Iman, do not let me go astray. And on the day of Qiyamah, do not open my faults in front of people. So when a person wants to commit any sin, then just think of it, what's going to happen on the day of Qiyamah? If this sin that I'm about to commit, Allah Ta'ala brings it in front of all creation, how embarrassed will I be? Inshallah, that will be a means of us staying away from the sin. So Mana ends off with this line, he's saying, Abni akhtar ko ruswa na karna. Don't embarrass, using his own name, but the lesson for us, don't embarrass your servant on the day of Qiyamah. Uske aibo ko ya Rab chupa de de. Oh Allah, hide all our faults. Oh Allah, You are Sattarul Uyub, You are Allamul Ghuyub, You know everything, You know our faults. Oh Allah, like how You concealed it in this world, on the day of Qiyamah also conceal our faults. So we make dua that Allah Ta'ala accept this as our dua and our plea from our Shaykh, and whatever lessons is in this poem, Allah Ta'ala bring it into our life. Allah Ta'ala make our complete islah. Allah Ta'ala grant us His complete love. Allah Ta'ala grant us His complete happiness. And Allah Ta'ala most importantly save us from being disgraced on the day of Qiyamah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد روح 25 The distinguishing characteristic of the nation of Islam. It is essential for Muslims to be distinguished from the followers of other religions and cultures. Muslims should be recognizable from the external appearances. External appearance is among the salient features of Islam. In such external appearance, the identity of the nation is maintained, and Muslims are guarded against assimilation into other non-Muslim cultures. Islam thus stresses the importance of external appearances. Islam prohibits unnecessary adoption of the ways and appearances of other nations. Certain acts which eliminate a Muslim's identity are haram, even if they are not the special characteristics of other communities. Thus shaving or cutting the beard, wearing shorts which exposes part of the sitr, etc.,
are completely forbidden. If a Muslim, along with adoption of such haram ways, despises or mocks at the Sharia prohibitions, his act of transgression progresses from sin to disbelief, kufr. Then there are certain things which are not exclusive to any particular community. The adoption of such things will be permissible. If a form of dress is particular with a non-Muslim community, it will be sinful for Muslims to adopt such a dress, even if the Sharia requirements in regard to sadr concealment are fulfilled by such attire. So, for example, like the sari is particular with the Hindus in South Africa, so Muslims cannot wear such kind of dresses. Another example of prohibited imitation is to eat sitting at tables with forks and knives. This way of eating is the manner of an alien community. Islam has taught its adherents a special way of conduct in eating. Therefore, it will not be permissible to adopt the ways of non-Muslims in this regard, even if such ways have no religious undertones. If the ways adopted from the disbelievers are of religious import as well, then it will amount to kufr. Example, wearing a cross, etc. Then there are such things which are of no real, which are of neither religious nor cultural import. Such things are of real use and benefit. Even if such things are the inventions of the disbelievers, there will be nothing wrong in adopting them. This applies to inventions of transport, communications, weapons, and other items of benefit. However, in such matters, the layman should not determine the permissibility or prohibition of anything. He should obtain the advice and direction of the ulama, who will properly inform him. It is also prohibited to adopt the ways and appearances of such Muslims who happen to be open sinners and bidatis, innovators. It is also prohibited for men to take on the attire and appearance of women, and vice versa. Some Quranic ayat and hadith on this subject will now be cited. Allah Ta'ala says that Shaitan said, I will teach them to ruin the appearance made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلَقَ اللَّهِ I will make them change the appearance made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Example of ruining the appearances bestowed to us by Allah Ta'ala are shaving the beard, tattooing, women cutting the hair, etc. Different rules apply to the changing of appearances. Certain changes are prohibited as mentioned above. Certain changes pertain to adornment and are wajib. Example, clipping of the moustache, cutting nails, removal of the hairs below the navel and under the arms. Other changes are permissible. Example, for a man to shave the hair on his head, to cut the beard after it has reached a first length, etc., exceeded a first length, etc. Such permissible ways of adornment are decided on by the Sharia and not by custom. Custom is not on par with the Sharia. Furthermore, custom is subject to change with the times and attitudes of people, but not so the Sharia. In another ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, لَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ Do not incline towards the transgressors, for then the fire will touch you. The Quran prohibits Muslims from inclining or adopting to the ways, cultures and customs of the kuffar. Inclining towards them is punishable by the fire of Jahannam, as is stated in the above verse. It is evident that if one adopts the culture or the ways of a particular people, it will be because of one's pleasure for such ways and customs. The heart having inclined towards the aliens adopts their ways, which it finds pleasing and attractive. But Islam forbids its followers to incline towards the transgressors and the kuffar. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu narrates that once he had on him two garments, which were dyed a saffron color. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commented, these are amongst the dressing of the disbelievers, do not wear these. No such bright colored garments are not permissible for men. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the turban tied on top of the topi is a differentiating factor between the mushrikeen and us. Wearing of turbans is common to both Muslims and non-Muslims. The Islamic aversion for imitation of the non-Muslims is so great that it is considered it necessary to create a difference in the wearing of the turban, even if such difference is not outwardly visible. Hence Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Muslims who don the turban to have a topi on it as well. The turban will be tied on top of the topi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.